She wisely backed off of that. But nonetheless, that is the first blow that will come repeatedly as the secular society puts pressure on the church to conform their own belief and teaching and practice to that which secular society has tended. Increasingly, our society will seek to stamp out our convictions by forcing us to this conformity. This will be so strange for us, who always believed that we were so protected to teach and to practice however we saw the Bible. And of course, we will then have to refer to the experiences of the early church, who lived in a society that put a great deal of pressure on them to conform to what they believed. In fact, the persecutions against the church in the first century were largely because the Christians would not acknowledge Caesar as Lord and would not engage in an annual pro forma activity of burning incense and calling Caesar Lord, because they said, we have one Lord and Caesar just isn't the Lord. And as a result of that, they were cast in prison, their possessions were taken away from them, and they were placed in harm's way. Nelson Mandela, who spent so many years in prison for his activities in South Africa, he said, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but it is the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but the brave man is the one who conquers that fear. Those of us who grew up in the West and another generation favor the words of John Wayne, who said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Courage may be the most important of all the virtues that we have, because without courage, you cannot practice any other virtue consistently. If you do not have courage, you will practice any other virtue erratically, and you will not be able to be consistent in your own life. That is the reason why courage is encouraged and is told in Scripture for us to practice. When I lived in New Mexico, the book Profiles in Courage was published, and of course I was very interested in reading it. It was published under the name of John F. Kennedy. Probably Ted Sorensen wrote it. But it was an amazingly impressive book about different people who acted in a moment of great courage. And I was particularly interested in the story of the senator from Kansas by the name of Edmund Ross. Edmund Ross was elected to the Senate right after the Civil War. It was then that the Congress had voted to impeach Andrew Johnson. The rivalry and the friction between the executive and the congressional forces were so severe that they chose, some think, on a pretext to impeach and indict President Johnson. And then it was up to the Senate to vote whether he was guilty are not guilty. Edmund Ross, the senator from Kansas, was one of the few Republicans who voted not to convict Andrew Johnson. And in fact, it was his vote, one vote, kept us from removing from office by impeachment a president of the United States. Well, I want to tell you, that ruined his career, as he knew it would. Kansas refused to elect him again, and he became so discouraged that he moved to the territory of New Mexico, which is kind of like going to Mars back then, just to get away. And in that chapter, it talks about how he knew that it came down to his vote. If he voted yes, For the first and only time in our history, a president would be removed by impeachment. And he realized the gravity of the situation historically, but also from a practical point of view, he knew that if he went against his Republican senators, that he would be the outcast in the Senate, and back home would be repudiated. Nonetheless, when they called the roll, Edmund Ross voted not guilty. That took a lot of courage. I remember that. In reading the Bible from childhood, we have always been impressed with stories of courage. David and Goliath, that great event in which David, this boy, took his slingshot and challenged Goliath, the giant that had brought terror to everyone else. No child can know that story. No adult can know that story without feeling this great experience of this courage of this boy to challenge someone like Goliath. Daniel, when he was a young man, was captured along with others from Judah by the Babylonian army. He was then brought to Babylon to be trained to be in service to the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he showed courage at the very first when he refused to eat the diet that the king had prescribed. And he risked himself and his fellow refugees by his insistence that they would eat nothing of the king's dainties, but would eat the diet that was prescribed by what they had been taught as children. Well, that was a wonderful thing. And sometimes we think, you know, young people can be courageous because they don't know any better. After a while, you're courageous and you suffer the penalties for courageousness and you don't want to be as courageous anymore. But then I read in the book of Daniel when he is now an old man and he has served Nebuchadnezzar, he has served Belshazzar, he has served the Babylonian Empire, but Darius, the king of the Medes, has now come in and conquered that empire, and now Daniel is in service to the Medo-Persian Empire. He is appointed because they recognize his wisdom and his honesty, and he advances in the Medo Empire the same as he had in the Babylonian Empire. He evoked the jealousy of others. And they looked at his life and they did negative research on him and they said, you know, we can't find anything wrong with this man. There's no weakness that we can find, except one. He has a weakness. His weakness is religion.